Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Let's read in the Bible and get some insight tonight from His Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You may be seated, and let's pray. Our Father, tonight we are grateful to be able to gather together. The testimonies have encouraged my heart, and I'm grateful that from your word we understand that you inhabit the praises of your people whenever we pause to give thanks to you privately, publicly, of your goodness, of your grace, your help. Lord, you are honored with that. You are exalted with that. And so thank you for allowing us just to have a small part in lifting you up within this congregation tonight. Thank you for your good works in our hearts. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful works. Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage tonight, that you would again continue to cultivate in us those things that would honor you and those things that would help us to be the best witness for you that we can be this week. So I pray that you would just grab our attention. I pray for our children, pray for our teenagers and every adult. Lord, that you would grab our attention tonight in these moments, and that you would teach us what it is to increase in love for you and for others. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, I ask this. Amen. Amen. Last week, we dealt with the matter of our moral purity and how that we are to be abounding in holiness. God told us as a church that we're to abstain from fornication, that we are abstain from it in our private lives. We are to walk and abound and to be overflowing in holiness. That doesn't give us a holier-than-thou attitude. Not at all. When we realize the own struggle in our own hearts and that God wants to help us by His Holy Spirit to be holy, we realize that any victory is really a praise to Him. Don't you agree with that? It's a praise to Him. Lord, thank you for helping me to have the victory in this area of my life. And so we want to live in that. So Paul was really challenging them in the midst of a very, very corrupt society there in Thessalonica that they needed to live in a way that was morally pure. This meant that there would be some places they wouldn't go anymore. This meant there would be some friends that they might not be able to hang with anymore because of the moral impropriety, the moral impurity that would go on. It was permeated its religious structure. The culture of that day was very impure, just like our culture is today. Everywhere we look, there's impurity around us. There is the sensationalizing, there's sexualization of society in epic ways, and it's not of God, and this was not God's plan. God's plan is that our sexuality be fulfilled inside of marriage. And so Paul is saying, listen, I want you to know you need to abstain, but there's also something else that you need to make sure that you're doing. You need to abound in brotherly love. You need to abound in brotherly love. So abound in holiness, but also abound in brotherly love. I've met some people, maybe some Christians that name the name of Christ, that they abounded in holiness, or they had all of their T's crossed and their I's dotted, but they didn't know how to love very well. They knew how to tell you were wrong, and they knew how to tell you what was wrong in everyone else's life, but they didn't know how to love very well. And so these really need to be in balance. In fact, I'm really thankful that the holiness of God and the love of God are always in balance. And if you think about it, the holiness of God demanded your judgment and mine for our sin, and He says the wages of our sin is death, right? And Revelation tells us that the wages of our sin is the second death, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's the holiness of God. But the love of God was shown towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the holiness of God and the love of God are perfectly met and satisfied at the cross. And so here he's telling you and I, and telling the Thessalonican believers, hey, make sure that you are abounding in holiness, but you're also abounding in love. And we'll see a word a little bit later that talks about this, abounding in love. I want us to realize, 1 Corinthians tells us, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I've told you before, I learned as a young man to learn how to play the trumpet, and the sounds that I made were very much like a sounding brass. They were not clarion, they were not beautiful, they're very much like a sounding brass. But he says that's what a Christian is without love. And verse number 2, and though I have the gifts of prophecies, I can declare the truth, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have not faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. What's Paul trying to say to the Corinthians? If you do not have love in your life as a believer, your actions, your words are just noise. It's just noise. So how important it is if the Thessalonican believers are going to win their city. I was reminded a little bit ago as Brother Morris was reading about Mongolia. You know, Paul walked into Athens and he says, this city is wholly given to idolatry. It's wholly given to the worship of other gods but the one true God. They even have a memorial, an altar to the unknown God, just to be safe. And friends, we live in that type of culture, don't we? We live in that type of culture. And friends, if we're going to witness in this culture, we need to have the balance of holiness and love. And those don't conflict. Sometimes I talk and counsel with believers and they say, well, if I stand up for this, if I do the right thing, if I honor God in this, I might lose them or I might not show them love. Friend, you can stand for the truth and love. In fact, love demands that you stand for the truth. And we live in a culture that says, if you are standing by your convictions, that's not loving. No, friends, that's not biblical. God calls us to stand for the truth and to be holy, and he calls us to do it in a way that is loving. And so I want us to notice in verse number 9 here that their love was taught by God. Their brotherly love, and that's a phrase that we need to catch a hold of tonight, their brotherly love, their familial love towards one another was taught by God. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Let's just capture the picture again. Guys, if you give me the map here, and let's remember where we are. We're in Thessalonica. Paul is on this trip after he's been told over in Asia by God. The Lord revealed to him that he wasn't going to go into Asia, and he received a vision during the night that says from the Macedonian, we call it the Macedonian call, come over to Macedonia and help us. And he received this from the Lord. He judged it. He prayed on it. He determined along with the others that God was assuredly calling them over into Macedonia. So he comes over to Macedonia, which is the region where Philippi is, Amphipolis, and Thessalonica, and Berea, and so on. They're all over there in Macedonia. Thessalonica is the main city of Macedonia. So Paul did not just go to an outskirts city. He went to a main hub of Macedonia to preach and to teach. He was there 3 Sabbath days, and then he had to be on his way because of the persecution that came against him. But he's heard from Timothy, one of his co-workers, he's heard how the church is doing. They were doing really well in their faith. They were facing persecution, but there was still fornication happening in the church, and they needed to be exhorted to continue in their love towards one another. And so he's giving these encouragements. He's written back this letter. Where is he writing this letter from? Down in the area of Corinth and Achaia. And so he's writing this letter back up to them and saying, hey, I want to encourage you in these ways. And such is the encouragement tonight. I want to encourage you in this matter of brotherly love. But I've heard you guys have been doing really, really great. You've been loving each other in such an amazing way. And Timothy tells me you're doing a wonderful job. And in fact, what I'm hearing is that you don't even really need me to write to you about it. I've written to you about other things, what you need to stay away from, but on this matter, you don't even really need for me to write to you on it because you are doing such a wonderful job, and it's obvious that God has taught you how to love other people. You know what's amazing to me? Is that when the Spirit of Christ dwells within us, He will change our lives. And sometimes you don't even know why you don't have a desire to do something anymore. You have a desire to love or to show care. You don't even fully understand all that God is doing in your life, but the Spirit of Christ in you will evidence itself in what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Well, isn't it interesting that here it is that Paul had not even had ample enough time to be able to encourage them in all these ways, and now they're evidencing the fruit of the Spirit. That's pretty awesome. And friends, let's not pass over that, and let's seek that in our own lives. He says, ye yourselves, you have been taught of God. Emphatically, God has been doing a wonderful work in your lives, and He's been teaching you. The only time it's mentioned in Scripture, in the New Testament, this phrase, taught of God, or to be God-taught. I find it very, very interesting that God chooses to use this phraseology in reference to love. It's something that God teaches new believers to love the brethren, to love one another, to love their fellow believers in Jesus Christ, to care for them and to have a concern for them. We see different types of love out in the world, but there's something special about the love that believers share for one another. Friends, I've traveled across the world, and I've found that love even bridges language barriers. It's pretty powerful. And it's a love that God teaches us. And here He's saying to them, God has taught you this. God has taught you what it is to love, and you've been doing a wonderful job. And what better way to have Christian growth than to be taught of God? In fact, I find that the lessons that God has taught me are the ones that seem to stick. Like when I know that I've gotten this from God, this has come from His Word, His Holy Spirit has impressed it upon my heart. And so let me just say a word to those that look forward to discipling and are discipling. This matter of discipling is helping other people learn the things that we have learned, but we can never replace the teaching of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And something that is a burden in my heart for anyone that is coming along in their Christian growth and I'm discipling them is this. If I can help them to learn to read the Word of God, because that is the revealed will of God, right? So if I can help them to learn to read it, communicate to God in prayer, talk to God about these things, not be anxious about prayer, but understand what prayer is really about, and listen for the promptings of the Holy Spirit, friends, they are well on the way to be able to learn everything they need to learn in the Christian life. Now, it's not saying that we don't need the gatherings of the saints and gathering around the preaching of the Word and being taught. I'm not saying that. But God will speak to hearts, and He will communicate messages via His Word, through prayer, and by the promptings of the Holy Spirit to folks that have a heart there that are sensitive to it. Sometimes we have to be alerted to the need of this. Brother Noah just mentioned it for the first time in his adult life, knowing what it is to be led of the Holy Spirit. Well, do you know what? In 5 years from now, Brother Noah or anyone else keeping that same spirit, God has full control. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to worry, well, where's Brother Noah going to be in 5 years from now? No, we know. He's going to be where God wants him. Do we see that? Right, if we continue to walk in that way. So how valuable it is to note that in people's lives. When you see that in people's lives, praise God, God is teaching you, and you're following along. And so Paul is just encouraging them. God has taught you. By the way, brotherly love is the response to God's love, like we learned this morning. Romans 5 and verse number 5, the Holy Spirit is shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts. And when we have the love of God in our hearts, it's kind of hard to contain that and not give that to other people. Not show that to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we should be diligent and attentive to the lessons God is teaching us. And especially in this matter of love. Especially in this matter of showing love to one another. This past Wednesday night, Brother Andy spoke from 2 Peter 1 and verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, or agape love, sacrificial love. Here's what I learned from this. That the Thessalonican believers had been diligent about their Christian growth. They'd been diligent to be tuned in to what God was trying to teach them. They were diligent because the Bible tells us that we are to give diligence to adding these things to our faith. And here they are as new believers, probably not much more than a year old in the Lord, and they are already excelling in brotherly love. That's amazing. So let's give diligence to what God is trying to teach us. God's going to teach you something this week. He's taught you things today. Let's give diligence and be attentive to what he's trying to teach to us. Romans 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So there's two quick things here that help us with this matter of brotherly love. If we're going to show it to one another, if we're going to be God-taught in this way, then we ought to be kindly affectioned to one another. What does that mean? There ought to be a spirit of family between us. Wouldn't you agree with that? The world is clamoring for that. I talk to more and more people that are disillusioned by the commercial church of this day. They're so tired of it just being sold to them. They're so tired of the glitz and the glamour, but there's not really a family feel. Friends, what we're asking God for here at Grace Baptist Church is that family feel, that connection, because we are connected in Jesus Christ. We're asking God that it's not just we come and sit in the same room for an hour or two or whatever, but that we have something that's binding us together, that we truly enjoy the fellowship of one another, and that we're kindly affectioned to one another. We take time for one another. Families spend time together, don't they? And so shouldn't the family of God. The family of God should spend time together. And we love our gatherings together. I love it when if I ever say this church doesn't go home, that's not because I'm criticizing that. That's because I'm just amazed that we've gathered together, we've been together, and a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour after the service, there's still people in the lobby talking or in the auditorium talking. What a blessing. Praise God. You know what that tells me? There's a family here that likes to spend time together. You might not always be able to do that, but it's certainly wonderful when you can just sit in fellowship and shoot the breeze, or just talk, or pray with one another, and love that time, and be kindly affectionate to one another. You know what I also find is sometimes the believers that get grumpy. I know, believers can get grumpy. Sometimes the ones that don't know how to spend time with their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a lot easier to criticize something from the outside. You're on the inside. What I mean by that, not in some sort of click. You're on the inside, and you understand that we have faults, and you see that. And it's a lot harder to criticize that when you see a person and you hear a person who's struggling with something, rather than just stand back and, I can't believe they did that. So friends, the family spirit, spending that time together, will help us to curb any sort of criticism or desire to gossip or desire to say, well, I'm just done with you. No, when you're connected with one another, family doesn't give up on one another. Right. I have some family members, and there's folks that are in my distant family or whatever. We might not see eye to eye on different things, but we don't give up on each other. They're still family. I have five brothers. You can be guaranteed. You can be guaranteed that we don't all agree with each other. Get us together at Thanksgiving. We don't always agree. We don't agree on the way we view the world. We're all born again, and I praise the Lord for that, but we don't always agree on things. But you know what? We don't just give up on each other. You don't give up on your family, right? And so as a child of God, we ought to be kindly affectionate to one another. What's that other phrase there in Romans 12:10? If you want to write that verse down and study it, it says, in honor, preferring one another, putting other people first. We live in a world that's a me-first world. The church ought to be you first. You first. Whatever you need, your best is my priority. And having that heart for one another. And so they were taught by God to have brotherly love for one another. But notice their love had extended far and wide. Their love was practiced in all their relationships. Notice in verse number 10, and ye indeed do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. Now think about that. That's a very powerful statement. These folks are not that old in the Lord. They didn't have a lot of experience. But Paul is writing back to them, we are hearing everywhere we go in Macedonia that you are demonstrating love. Notice this word, do it. They were literally acting out their love toward the other brethren. They were doing it in meaningful ways. They were practicing their love. And what this tells me is God had taught them to do this. God had taught them to show brotherly love, and they were practicing it. You know what this tells me? They were obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. As new believers, they were obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen, can I just encourage us, myself included, if we ever get past listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, we're in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble. Consider this. We can't expect God to teach us more and to reveal more of His will when we have in the past already said no to His Holy Spirit. You know what I've found? For me personally, if I say no to the Lord on Monday, no to His Spirit in even small things, I'm going to be at Tuesday and Wednesday saying, just seems like my relationship's kind of dead. It's not going anywhere. Anyone else with me on that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Your last no to God is the place you need to return to and take care of. Your last no is the beginning of backsliding. Your last no is the beginning of lukewarmness. And if we will be very proactive about not saying no to God, you've taught me, therefore I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it just like they did it. And they didn't just do it with, you know, well, do it to those that I like, those in my clique. By the way, cliques destroy churches. So let's be very, very careful. If you ever find yourself getting into talking to the same people over and over, it's easy for all of us. But let's mix and mingle as much as we can and include in. If you see somebody out in the lobby afterwards, you're in a group and you're just talking about life and so on, you see someone standing alone, say, hey, brother, we're not talking about anything private over here. You come on over. Right? Include them in. Pull people into your conversation. Be a sticky church in that way where we're pulling people together and we're having those conversations so that we're loving one another in that way. So they didn't just show it to the folks that they liked in their hometown and when they gathered at the church there in Thessalonica. It says they showed it in all of Macedonia. Did you see the map? It's all of Macedonia. Like, it's everywhere that includes Macedonia. They had spread out this demonstration, this practice of love in all of those places. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. Romans 12 and verse number 10. Let's turn back there tonight. Give you a little exercise in turning to Scripture this evening. Romans 12 and verse number 10. And I want you to notice what the Lord tells us here. Romans 12 and verse number 10. And I think I actually have the wrong reference. And so I'm going to look quickly here. Well, verse number 10, am I in the right place? Well, it'd help if I was in Romans. It would just really help. I'm saying that is not at all what I studied. And I thought I had this right. Romans 12 and verse number 10, I'm in 1 Corinthians. And that won't work. All right, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Now, let's just walk down through this. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. How does this relate? Rejoicing in hope. We learned about that this morning. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Notice this. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. And then it goes on with all these other instructions to believers. All these other instructions. Friends, love has a multifaceted way of exhibiting itself among our relationships. But one of them is we rejoice in hope together. We glory in tribulation together. We are instant in prayer for one another. Hey, let's pray about that. We're ready to pray. But it says distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. One of the ways that we can develop this brotherly love among ourselves is just enjoy hospitality. Enjoy being with one another. Enjoy hanging out. We had the men's pizza night. There were so many pizzas there. And it was wonderful. But you know what? The men just hung around and enjoyed talking and playing and enjoyed time together. You ladies, some of you ladies found yourself at our house and enjoyed just being together. Praise the Lord. We ought to love that together. And this is so important as we consider this matter of brotherly kindness and how they exhibited it, given to hospitality. It's not just they did it, it's not like they did it grudgingly. They were given to hospitality. They gave themselves over to it. So what does it take for you to stop showing brotherly love? We see a lot of lack of love in our world today. But what does it take for you to get out of whack and stop showing brotherly love? Hebrews 13 and verse 10 says, let brotherly love continue. Do you know why God had to tell that to us? Because sometimes we can stop showing brotherly love. And so Hebrews tells us, let brotherly love continue. Let it continue. Let it abound in your life. Let it go on. Sometimes we can stop because of a short word. Someone was out of sorts or maybe having a bad day, and they gave a short word to us, and we're like, well. Now, we wouldn't say that out loud. But if that's the way they're going to treat me, I'll just visit with somebody else at church. Maybe an unnoticed act of service. No one noticed it, so why do it? Someone's overstepping. You know what? We can all overstep sometimes. How many of you are with me on that? We can all put our nose where it doesn't belong. And sometimes we can stop showing brotherly love to to another person because they overstepped. They were used of God and were recognized, and I wasn't. Maybe a little jealousy can stop us from showing brotherly love. There's many things, but the reality is we should have a heart of brotherly love to restore one another in the spirit of meekness, to listen before assuming. Boy, there's a big one. Listen before assuming. Ask questions more than just giving accusations. Sitting with a person in their difficulty, their hurt, their suffering. Sharing the goods and resources that God gave us. Barnabas and the early church did this well. Fellowshipping with one another. Giving our time to one another. Praying for, interceding for one another, serving one another, all such amazing ways to be able to do what the Thessalonians did. They showed brotherly love, not just in Thessalonica, but also in all of Macedonia. And we want to show love. We don't want to just be a narrowly focused as a church. You know, God is giving and will give us the opportunity to show love to other believers in this state and in this country. And we ought to take every single opportunity. Some of you ladies know that and have been a part of developing gift bags for if there's believers that are coming through or people in the ministry that are coming through. If they're just coming through in an evening, we want to throw together a gift bag for them, send them on their way with some snacks, and just say, hey, thank you for serving the Lord. Sometimes it might be that we let them stay in the mission room or get them a room or whatever the case may be, just to say, hey, we love you and we're grateful for what you're doing. But we want to show that love in any way that we can and be constantly thinking that way. But I want us to notice this. Paul heard of their brotherly love. He was encouraged by it. It was a blessing to see how God was working in their lives. Like was already mentioned, Brother Aaron, your testimony this morning in growth groups was a blessing to hear how God was working in their lives. It was blessed Paul. It blessed Paul to hear how God was working in their lives. But you know what's interesting in verse number 10? Look at verse number 10 with me. Notice this word, but. But we beseech you. But we beseech you. You guys are doing a great job. But we beseech you. Now you'd think that Paul could have just left it there. You guys are doing a great job. I'm not going to even talk about it. But no, he says, but we beseech you. Now this is very interesting because Paul follows the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is divinely inspired. Amen? Right? And so Paul was following the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, you know what, I do need to encourage you though. I do want to urge you. We beseech you. I do want to beg you. I do want to urge you to continue on. I don't want to let this opportunity pass without saying you need to continue in this brotherly love towards one another. Henry Blackaby, he's since gone with the Lord. We studied his some of his work last year. But he said this, and you might recall this phrase, find where God is working and join him there. Find where God is working and join him there. Do you know what I see in Paul here? Paul had many things to say, but the Holy Spirit led him to join in with the work that God was already doing in their lives and saying, you're doing a great job. Now let me encourage you to continue on. You know, when you come along, prompted by the Holy Spirit to somebody and say, I see that God's really working in your life in this area. Let me just encourage you to continue on. It's really been a blessing in my heart. You know how powerful that is? But you and I sometimes as believers have our own plan and lesson plans for a believer, another believer. And we come along and say, hey, this is what I think you ought to be focusing on when God is focusing on another area in their life. And right now for the Thessalonians, in Paul's perspective, it was God is working in your life about this brotherly love, and I just want to come along and say, I beg you not to stop. Keep going. Keep going. And so he urges them to increase their love in daily living. We beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. You're already doing a great job. You're already known for this around Macedonia, but you continue on. You keep at it. Increase is the word to abound. So here we have they are to abound in holiness, but now they are to abound in their love. Increase more and more. It is to overflow, to superabound in love. And that's what he was encouraging them to do. There were some practical steps or applications of this brotherly love, and I want us to notice this. Look in verse number 11. So coming out of this matter of them increasing in brotherly love, they were to study to be quiet. You say, well, how does that have anything to do with love? You know, love impacts every area of our life. It impacts our attitude, it impacts our demeanor, it impacts our words, it impacts our actions, and it will do that all throughout our life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to impact everything we do. And if we walk into this week without love for the brethren and love for the world around us, it's going to show. It's going to show up. And sometimes it shows up in maybe some obscure ways. But I want us to notice that there's some practicable applications of this brotherly love. You study to be silent. Study is to aspire, to seek after something. When we study a subject, we're seeking to learn knowledge. But study to be quiet is to live quietly, to lead a life free of disruption or commotion. And it's only mentioned here in the New Testament. It's to lead a life that is at rest. It's at peace. By the way, you and I can have peace in our lives because we have peace with God. And there's another fruit of the Spirit here. It's love, joy, peace, right? So God is saying to you and I and to the Thessalonians, you need to study to be at peace. You know, sometimes you can get around a person that's always going this way and that way, and they're always have a new thing going on, and it can be exhausting. Do you know what I'm talking about? Help me out here. Am I in left field? No, it can be exhausting. You walk away and say, I'm worn out. Do you know that you and I can love one another by being at peace? Not just in our relationships, but just being at peace. I can sadly say there's been many times too often that have not been at peace. Where I'm troubled or worried about something, but I can be and you can be a greater blessing to one another when you're at peace. God has this. God's going to see us through. Let's stop and pray about this. You know what I find? That when we are undisturbed and settled like that, we're free from the noisiness, that I'm able to notice what God is doing in other people's lives. I'm able to consider them, as Hebrews 10:24 tells me to do. But when I'm just all rattled on the inside, I can't see anything but my own problems. Do you know it's important for us to walk into church and be at peace? To just be settled. Lord, what do you have for me today? Yes, I need something from you, and maybe I do need you to calm my heart down, but I want to be at peace so I can be a blessing to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't you love getting around a person who's just at peace? I do. It nourishes. It's encouraging. Don't you love getting around a brother or sister in Christ who doesn't have to talk about all the bad that's going on in the world or in someone else's life? They're talking about the goodness of God. What a blessing. You know that we can show love by studying to be quiet, by studying to be at peace, to live in that peaceful condition. A believer, a Christian who strives to be at peace with himself and with God will be a source of peace to his brethren, one author said. So we ought to do that. because we want to love one another. But the second thing is to do your own business. To do your own business. Now, some believe that there in Thessalonica, they heard that Jesus Christ had be coming, and that's the next subject, and they're like, all right, we're going to just sell our jobs, and we'll just kind of depend on others for to take care of us, and we're going to wait for Jesus to come back. Now, I can't be dogmatic about that, but Paul says, no, you need to do your own business. And you need not to be walking from place to place, getting your nose in other people's business. You need to do your own business. Has anyone heard the acronym MYOB? Was I the only one that heard that as a kid? How many of you were told that as a child? MYOB. Mind your own business. Those words ring in my ears. I could put a name and put a name and attribute that to somebody, but I won't. But nonetheless, I heard that as a kid. Why? Because I was nosy as a teenager. And I had to learn, mind your own business. Proverbs tells us, chapter 25, verse 17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest they be weary of thee and hate thee. There's just a practical thing of sometimes it's time to just go home. Sometimes it's time to just say, you know what, that's none of my business. I'm going to have to just leave that there. And just leave it alone. Why? Because God says, that isn't for you. You're gonna cause undue problems for you. I found it very interesting that Peter also said, by the way, those guys got up in each other's business a lot as disciples, and Jesus had to stop it. But Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody. Now, that's a lot there. Thief, murderer, evildoer, or a busybody. Don't suffer that way. He's talking about if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. If you're persecuted for the gospel's sake, happy are you. Rejoice in that you're counted worthy to suffer in that way. But don't suffer as a thief, murderer, or a busybody. You know what? Busybodies typically get what they have coming to them. And God says, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer as a believer for the sake of Jesus Christ, but don't suffer as a busybody. There is a suffering for busybodies. And so we might call this nosiness. Today, many families, work, and church problems have been started because of nosiness or busybodying. I don't even know if that's a word. But you get the idea. Being nosy. There is a difference between brotherly love and concern and nosiness. Wouldn't you agree? Do you think the Holy Spirit could help us with that one? Because sometimes we might need help with that, right? What's over the line? But I do believe that nosiness often is in search of details just because they want to know details or prop themselves up. Feel better about themselves because they found out a detail about somebody else that makes them feel better about themselves. Right? That could be one of the reasons. Brotherly kindness or brotherly love is in search for a way to help and to serve. So we ought to be a church that's constantly aware of what's going on, not to be nosy, but how can we help? What can we do about it? How can we demonstrate love? How can we practice love? And so we are to mind our own business or do your own business. And it is our business to serve one another in love. Galatians 5 and verse number 15. But work with your own hands. Again, getting back to this matter of them, maybe some laziness creeping in. The Greeks deplored manual labor, one author said, and relegated it to slaves as much as possible. The Jews held it in high esteem. Every Jewish boy was taught a trade regardless of his family's wealth. Jesus was taught the trade of carpentry. And so here in this Gentile area of Thessalonica, there is still in the church this matter. By the way, salvation doesn't just immediately correct bad character. God's working on that, and I thank you for the virtue that he brings into our lives, but the reality is that it does take us to make a point, and here he's correcting them, saying, hey, as believers, God blesses work. God blesses it when you work with your own hands. And he's saying, don't be lazy like the rest of your culture is. You get to work. You get to work. And God designed work as a part of his original design. Do you know that before the fall, there was work? Adam was to keep the garden. And he was to name the animals. I mean, that was work. There was a lot involved in that, and that was his responsibility. And so a part of God's original design for mankind is that they would labor. Now, the difficulty of work has come a part of the fall, but Paul was urging them to earn their own living instead of taking advantage of others and other believers' wealth. Earn your own living. Work with your own hands. Take the strength that God has given you and work with your own hands. Our culture is increasingly lazy, is it not? It is. Do you know that's interesting? In Ezekiel chapter number 16 and verse number 49, this is very interesting. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now, if I were to ask you, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay? Anyone else? You're not supposed to be reading my notes. So, Sodom and Gomorrah, we have the word sodomy or homosexuality comes from that concept. But you know what's interesting? Though homosexuality is often linked with Sodom and Gomorrah, do you realize that God says it's a much different than this? There was, as our sister just said, pride, fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness. You know what we have in our country? Pride, abundance, and a whole lot of seeking of idleness. If we can just get to the weekend, it'll all be good. If we can just get on that vacation, it'll all be good. Friends, we live in a society that is trending lazy, just like other cultures have before. It's not been good for them. Studies have shown, one organization called Bolt Insurance has shown that $134 billion is lost a year in workplace productivity. $134 billion. I'll not go through all the different statistics, but some of it is just the office politics and the surfing the web and the watching the NCAA or whatever it is, and the money is just lost because there's not a focus going on. And God says, as believers, we're to work with our own hands. We're to be diligent in this way and then to walk honestly towards those that are without. Walk honestly towards those that are without. We're to walk with a decorum, in a decent way, in a becoming way. The word or the idea of it is also said in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation or your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel. It's appropriate to the gospel. It's in balance with the gospel. And so God says, listen, you need to walk honestly. You need to walk in a becoming way. A becoming way to who? To Jesus. Towards those that are without. So as you go to work tomorrow, we need to walk in a becoming way before the unsaved. We need to walk in a becoming way. We ought to walk in a way that reflects our Savior. Now, if we're lazy or we're getting involved in the workplace politics or we're shorting the boss, do you know what that says to a boss? Well, they're no different than everyone else. And so this is just really practical. And by the way, that's not loving your boss. That's not putting him first. It's not saying, hey, I want your best. It's saying, I want what pleases me. And so it's hard to win a coworker or a boss to Christ when we're wrapped up in these things that are not truly loving. It's hard to win them to Christ when we're talking bad and down about our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Or talking down about our family. God says, walk honestly towards them. Walk honestly. One author said, everyday habits of living manifest love of the brethren, as do more special demonstrations of affection. The idea that it is in the practical little things that show love, not just these big displays of love, saying, oh, I love you, let me give you this. It's in these practical daily habits. Practical daily habits. And God gives us, study to be quiet, do your own business, work with your own hands, walk honestly towards the lost. Let's say those out loud together. Ready to begin? Study to be quiet. Do your own business. Work with your own hands. Walk honestly towards the lost. And that's a good marching order for this week if we're going to show some love towards those that are around us. Let's finish with this verse. John 13 and verse number 34, a new commandment I give unto you. Do you know it, church? That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Do you know what God's telling the Thessalonians? Abound in love. Yes, abound in holiness, but abound in love. Increase in love more and more. And may the Lord help us with that, to put that into practice this week for his glory's sake. Would you stand with me in an attitude of prayer? Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word and for the practicality of it. Now, Lord, we ask that you would help us to walk in love towards one another and then towards our neighbors, our coworkers, everywhere that we are, that we walk in a way that just represents you really well. And so we need your help with this, because sometimes, Lord, we're tempted not to love. We're tempted to focus on ourselves. We don't want to do that. That wouldn't honor you. And so we ask that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.